to change, we needed one.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with him, amen. The problem's us.
Amen.
That's the way it's always been. The problem's always been mankind. It ain't God, amen. God's not the problem. We are the problem.
Amen.
Judges chapter number 5. And we started, last time we done this in chapter 5, we're dealing with this song or this duet of Deborah and Barak, amen. We'll look at verses 12 through verses 19 tonight of the song that they sung. We said in verses 1 through 11, Deborah's song or the duet, kind of look at the first 11 verses as the first stanza of the song. That's where we're going to preach it anyhow. And then in verses 12 through verses 19, the second stanza of the song. And you know, you read the song books, especially those old time hymns like we sing, amen. They're biblical, number one. Thank God for that. But they got something to say. And a lot of times the songs are written like a sermon, amen. It goes into what the Lord done, what the Lord's done for you, and then the Lord's coming back, amen. Got an order to it, amen. And so there's an order in this song that Deborah sung also, what she sung, amen. First of all, we saw that she sung praises to God, she sung of the peace of God, and she proclaimed God. Well, you can't go wrong with that, amen. But in the second stanza, amen, the title of the sermon tonight will be The People of the Battle. She deals with the people within the battle. She praises God for what God has done in the battle, but who are the people in the battle? And we'll look at it in three ways tonight. The enlisted tribes, the easy tribe, and then the encouraging tribe. The enlisted tribe, the easy tribe, and the encouraging tribe. When we get done with this chapter 5, dealing with this song that they're reflecting back on the battle that was previously won in chapter 4, it's also prophetic of the end times or the second coming of the Lord and the battle of Armageddon. And we maybe deal with some of that prophetic picture within in the chapter also. Maybe even a little bit tonight. We'll see how it goes. But let's read verses 12 through verse 19. The second stanza, the people of the battle. Bible said, "Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinadab." Then he made him that remained have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. Out of Ephraim was there a root of them against Amalek. After thee, Benjamin, among thy people. Out of Maker came down governors, and out of Zebulun they that handled the pen of the writer. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley, for the divisions of Reuben there were great thoughts of heart. Why boatest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleating of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben there were great searching of heart. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. And why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breeches. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeopardied their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. The kings came and fought. Then fought the kings of Canaan in Taanach, by the waters of Megiddo. That's where it's prophetically speaking of that battle of Armageddon, that Megiddo. They took no gain of money. There'll be no spoil on that day. There'll be no gain of money. You talk about prophetically at the battle of Armageddon, there'll be no gain. There'll be no spoil. Because blood's going to be up to the horse's bridle. There's going to be a slaughter and a murdering going on. The only person that will be getting any spoil will be the buzzards eating off the garbage and the dead corpse. There ain't going to be any spoils. Ain't nobody taking home no sheep, no flocks, amen. Everything's going to be killed that's against God and is with the enemy. Let me just go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ted, how about pray for us tonight, brother? Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth, Lord. I pray you bless these folks here. God help us all.
Give us
Jesus, so that it please you. God help us, yes. God help us. Yes. Amen.
The people of the battle. First of all, I want you to look at verses 12 through verses 15 on the enlisted tribes. The people within the battle, the first thing you see are the people that was enlisted in the fight. You can entitle this first point either enlisted tribes or fighting tribes. Somebody turn your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, and read that for me there. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. The enlisted tribes, the fighting tribes. These are those that were involved within the battle. And as a child of God, you and I should be involved in the battle of the Lord. We should be fighting, amen, for the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Somebody got it. Stand and read it real loud. Amen. So we're to fight the good fight of faith. Whereunto we are called. We were called to fight. Amen. And then we ought to have a good witness among others. Amen. Others ought to see our fight and our stand. When there was a battle that took place, they were these that were enlisted, and everybody knew who was fighting. It's not very hard to find out who's in there trying to do something right for God. Amen. A lot of times we spend a lot of time dealing with those that are not doing right, but thank God for those that are doing right, that are enlisted in the fight, these enlisted tribes. Look in verse number 12. The Bible said this, "Awake, awake, Deborah." Now, I don't know. You can look at this thing in two different ways. Amen. Either Deborah is singing and encouraging herself, or Barak and the duet is singing to Deborah. And then in turn, Deborah sings back to Barak. I don't know how it goes, amen, but here, I'll preach it both ways. You do whatever you want to do with it. Now, the Bible says, awake, awake, Deborah. Either Deborah is saying, hey, awake, awake, amen, or Barak is saying, awake, awake. And then he says, awake, awake, utter a song, arise, Barak. So apparently somebody says something to him in the second part. Amen. Either Deborah is saying, awake, wake to herself, and awake and utter a song, arise, Barak, or Barak sung to her, and then she in turn turned around and sang to him. You get what I'm saying? The Bible said, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinadab. It's very obvious that Deborah was saying that to Barak in the second part of the awake. Hey, can I say first of all, when it comes to the enlisted tribes or the fighting tribes, it is time for you and I, just as it was time for them, to get involved.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, standing by has been going on long enough. Yeah. Hey, waiting for us to say, well, sooner or later I'm going to do something for God. That's just come too far now, amen. It's time to get involved. It's time to do something for the Lord. Amen. Our time physically is running out.
Amen.
We're not going to live forever, amen.
Amen.
And if you look at the prophetic picture of the age that we're living in, hey, the Lord could come back and take us home, amen. It's time for you and I to get involved in the fight. It's time that we enlist to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life and be a witness to those that are around us. It's time to get involved. Look at, hold your place here. Look in Romans chapter number 13. It's time to get involved. I mean, that's doctrinal for the New Testament age, amen. It's time to get involved. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, Paul writing to the Romans said this. 13:11, and that knowing the time. You know what time it is? You might say, well, it's 27 after 7. No, it's a whole lot different than that. It's time to get involved is what time it is. It's time for you to awake. Amen. That's what he says. Look, he says in verse 11, and knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Is that what she said? Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake. Amen. Utter a song and arise, Barak. Amen. It's time to get up. It's time to wake up. Amen. Hey, get out of your sleep and your slumber and get involved with the work of God.
Amen.
We're dragging our feet. We're laying around idle and nothing's getting done. It's time to awake.
Amen.
There's a battle to be fought. There's an enemy that's out there. It's time to stand up for the Lord. And that knowing the time, it is high time to awake out of sleep. Amen. Look what he says here. He says in verse number 11, knowing the time, it is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of what? Light. Let us walk honestly. Let's do it right, amen. Let's profess a good witness before others. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5. It's time to awake. Awake, Deborah. Awake, Barak. Get up. It's time to go. There's a fight. There's a battle. There's an enemy out there. I can't help it. Anytime you preach about the good fight of faith and doing what's right by God, my mind can't help but to go to David over there when he went down there where his brothers were hiding in the ditches and there was a big Goliath out there mocking the people of God, mocking their God. Amen. And David said, there's not a cause. Hey, boys, wake up. Get out of the ditch. Let's go forward and do something for God. Haven't we all stood idle long enough? I mean, what do you need? What more do we need to go forward for the Lord? Paul said over to the Corinthians, the love of Christ constraineth us. I mean, has God not loved you enough and been so good to you to want to do something for Him? Is that a reasonable service, Romans 12? Awake, amen. It's the times of night, drawing nigh, amen. Let's get involved. Ephesians 5 and verse 14, he says this, wherefore he saith, awake, there it is again, awake thou that what? Sleepest. And arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee what? Then walk circumspectly. There's the fight. Hey man, it's time to get involved. Look back in Judges chapter 5 with me. So the enlisted tribe saw that it was time to get involved. Deborah sung either to herself. Amen. If she did, I see it like this. I see an encouraging to self. Hey, sometimes you just got to encourage yourself. I mean, if she was singing the whole song, awake, awake, Deborah, she said, hey, 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 lady, it's time to, you know, grab the old flesh by the neck, let's go. Hey, I don't need any push. It's time, every once in a while, you just encourage yourself.
Yeah.
You ever encourage yourself? You say, well, nobody's wanting me to do right, everybody's against me. Well, encourage yourself. Sing to yourself, amen. Awake, awake, Deborah. I look at Deborah, looking at her stinking flesh, and say, hey, lady, let's get up and go forward. Let's quit having a pity party. Let's quit complaining and groaning and moaning. And let's just get up and go. I seen encouraging herself. Hey, sometimes to enlist in the battle, enlist in the fight, or be an enlisted tribe member, you got to look at yourself and say, hey, it's about time we get up.
Amen.
It's about time we quit being slothful. I mean, is your whole life going to spend by somebody else having to push you?
Right.
You know, young kids, this time, hey, there come a time in your life, mom and daddy can't push you, but so far.
Yeah.
And you just got to look at yourself and say, hey, what? You know, I've been wasting too much time. I've been beating around too much, amen. It's time I get up, amen. Hey, sing to yourself, awake, awake, Deborah. Let's get up and go. Let's arise. Maybe encouraging self, amen. Hey, look in Judges chapter number 20. I see this encouraging yourself here. Judges 20. Encourage yourself. Judges 20. Look in verse number 22. Judges 20:22. Bible says this. And the people, the men of Israel, you see that? They did what? Encouraged themselves. And set the battle against an array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. What did the people do? They encouraged themselves. Look over to 1 Samuel. Do you look at Ruth after this book and then 1 Samuel? 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Well, you're talking about a good passage. Remember when David was fleeing from Saul? Amen. And he teamed up with the enemy. And he went out to battle and he was delivered to come back. And when he came back, amen, hey, Ziklag had been taken captive. The crowd had been overrun. Amen. They had invaded the land where David's people were. And David had went out there and took those people. Hey, you know what these people were? A bunch of unfit. Amen. A bunch of people in debt and discouraged without hope until David showed up in their lives. And David the king, amen, they brought these people under his arm, kind of like what Christ has done to us. A bunch of in debt, amen. A bunch of renegades, a bunch of rebels, amen. Has taken us under his arm and loved on us and been good to us.
Amen.
And then they go out to fight with David and they come back to Ziklag and their wives are gone, their children are gone, and all the things are taken captive. And they turn around and look at David and say, hey, why'd you do this to us? They wouldn't have had nothing if it wouldn't have been for David to start with. Hey, hey, you can mumble and groan at God all you want to. We wouldn't have nothing if it wasn't for God.
Yeah.
We'd still be in debt and discouraged and down and out if it wasn't for God coming by and reaching down that horrible pit and pulling us out and putting our feet on a solid rock and established our goings. God help us to grumble and complain back to God. And this is what they did to David. They spake of stoning. You know what he did? He went and had a pity party. No, that ain't what he did. That's what we do.
Yeah, amen.
We have a pity party.
Right.
And we moan and groan and say, why did everybody treat me like this? Why is everybody doing me wrong? Why am I having to put up with it? That's what the devil wants you to do is back up in the corner and have a pity party and get discouraged and get depressed.
Amen.
Look at this Bible saying in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 6. The Bible said, and David was greatly distressed. Why? Why? For the people spake of stoning him. Because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David what? Encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's a good verse to highlight, or even mark it somewhere in your notes in your mind somewhere. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. When everybody was against him, he was all by himself. He said, God, you've been too good to me. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm going to inquire of you until you're going to tell me what I need to do. That's exactly what he did. He encouraged himself. He inquired of the Lord. And then he got up and entered the pursuit and went and got the people back. That's what you got to do. You got to drive and drag yourself by the nap every once in a while and say, you know what? I can sit there and have a pity party. Maybe I got a reason to. Those people are speaking bad of me and want to stone me. But hey, you know what? God's been too good to me. Awake, Deborah, awake. Let's get up and go forward anyhow.
Amen.
Sometimes you got to get up and do that in the church and serving God. You got to just grab yourself by the nap and say, you know what? I can have a pity party and we can stay home. But hey, I'm going to go forward by the grace of God.
Amen.
Yep.
We didn't enlist to get out. We signed up to stay in. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. You don't enlist to get out. You think it's going to be easy? Hey, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Shall suffer persecution. It's coming. And the devil just wants to punch you in the mouth hard enough to see how much you can take. And here's the crowd out there and everything's going bad. And all the people are in wickedness. And Deborah one day says, you know what? Hey, Beck, let's go get the people out of captivity. God's leading us to do something for God. Let's get up, let's enlist, and let's go forward.
Amen.
Maybe she's just encouraging herself. You need to encourage yourself.
Amen.
If your wife won't encourage you, your husband won't, or your parents won't, or your children won't, or your brother won't, or your sisters won't. Sometimes you just got to encourage yourself. I see also chapter 5, look at here. Awake, awake, Deborah. Maybe she's encouraging herself. Maybe Barak's singing her. But I know for sure, awake, awake, utter a song, arise, Barak. Deborah sung to Barak. More than likely, that's the way it went down. She sung to herself, and then she turned around and sang to him. She said, hey, I need to get up. But you know what? You need to get up. She was constantly pushing him the whole time anyhow. He was weak and frail, you know. Hey, sometimes you got to enlist. When you enlist, you got to encourage yourself. But you know what? God put us here to encourage others.
Amen.
You got to encourage your brother. You got to lift them up.
Yeah, amen.
Hey, man, your brother every once in a while need a push.
Amen.
I mean, we beat them down and talk about them and run them down, amen, and Facebook them and chat behind their backs and tweet behind their backs. You know, every once in a while you need to look up at a brother and say, you know what? I'm praying for you.
Amen.
Hey, keep the faith. Stay in there. It's going to come to pass. Amen. I've been where you've been. Hey, God's still faithful, and He'll be faithful when it's over with. Amen. Encourage somebody else. And let me show you this example. Look in Isaiah chapter 41. Let me show you the example of this. Encourage your brother. And sometimes they need encouraging. Isaiah, right before Jeremiah, right? Isaiah 41. Here's an example. She encouraged Barak, arise, arise. Awake, utter a song, Barak, sing. God's been too good to us to mope and groan. What does the Bible talk about over in the book of Psalms? And they went down there in a strange land and the enemy said, hey, sing us a song. And they said, how can we sing in a strange land? They were being mocked by the world. They said, we ain't got a reason. Yeah, we do got a reason to sing.
Yeah, amen.
God's been too good to us. He gives song in the night, amen. That's what He does.
Amen.
Isaiah 41, look what the Bible says in verse number 6. The Bible said in verse number 6 in Isaiah 41, they helped every one his neighbor. And every one said to his brother, be of good courage. When's the last time you encouraged a brother or a sister? When's the last time you used that mouth to lift them up instead of tear them down? You know what? She could have said, Matt, you sorry no good wimp. Hey, he was. Apart from Deborah pushing him, man, he was scared to death. Instead, she said, hey, arise. Let's go. Encourage. Look in verse 7. The carpenters. I don't know who that was. I ain't none of them around here. Encourage the goldsmith.
Amen.
Maybe they ain't, the carpenters ain't encouraging nobody because we ain't got no goldsmiths around here. Amen. I don't know. Y'all don't get that, do you? So the carpenters encourage the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. You know what the example is? A brother helping another brother. the enlisted tribe. Sometime when you enlist, you need to encourage yourself. Back to Judges 5. Hey, sometimes you need to encourage others. But ultimately, what you need to do is just enlist.
Amen.
You need to sign up.
Amen.
You need to say, I'm here, man. I'm in. Whatever you want, Lord, I'm in. Look what the Bible says in verse 12. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, utter a song, arise, Beth, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinadab. Amen. It's time to enlist. Hey, let's lead captivity captive. Maybe we'll mention the prophetic about this in the end of the sermon. We'll see how it goes. But here, spiritually, you know what it is? Hey, there's people in captivity.
Yeah.
Sinners in captive to themselves, lost without God. Hey, lead the captivity captive. Is that not what the Lord did? When He went out, He descended and led captivity captive. He come to get the captive and set them free. There's a world that needs to be set free.
Amen.
More than that, it needs to be made free, and God can make them free.
Amen.
But you know what? We need to go get those that are in captive. He says, lead captivity captive. That's what she said to Barak. Go lead them captive. When's the last time you led somebody out of a mess? Maybe captive it from their own selves. Captive from some enemy, amen, that they're battling with in their flesh. Or the work of the devil in their lives with somebody else. Hey, let's enlist and lead captivity captive. Let's go tell the world about Jesus. Let them know God saves. Let them know they ain't got to go to hell. Let a child of God know it ain't going to always be that way. Let's go forward and press on.
Amen.
The enlisted tribe, they're the fighting tribe. They fight the good fight of faith. They encourage themselves. They encourage others. And they enlist. It's time to get involved. You know what? It's time to get engaged. Look in verse 13. Then he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles. Among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. Well, they're getting engaged. Who? Who? Barak, that led captivity captive, the son of Abinadab. He made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. Do you know what? You know what Barak did? Amen. He got others involved. Amen. He that made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. You know what God did to Barak? God honored his faith and willingness. He didn't have to get up. Deborah said, awake, awake, arise, get up. Don't leave captivity captive. You know what he could have said? No. Forget it. Scream all you want to, preacher. I ain't going nowhere. I don't care what you say. I ain't going to enlist. I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to fight. That's your choice. But you know what Barak did? He said, okay, I'll go. And he didn't have much faith neither. What did God say? If you have faith the size of a mustard of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, remove thou hence, thou shalt be removed. It don't take much. You say, preacher, I can't do nothing. Man, I don't know. I don't believe. I doubt. You know what Barak did? He's the same way. Let me show you. Look back in chapter 4 and verse number 8. When they went forward, this is the actual battle. Chapter 4, verse 8, we're preaching on the song. Chapter 4, verse 8, and Barak said unto her, if thou go with me, she said, go down there, Barak, let's go get them. He said, if thou go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. He said, I ain't going by myself. I'm scared. Remember what I said about that? I'm scared of the dark. I ain't going. You got to go. Take me. Lead me to my deer stand and then go get yours. It's dark. There's werewolves out there and stuff. I ain't going. That's why some of y'all boys can't kill no deer. Y'all too scared to get in the woods for daylight. Bunch of chickens. Hey, but God will honor your faith, though. Amen. He went out. Amen. With faith and willingness. It wasn't much faith. It wasn't great faith. But he was willing. And he went. I'm trying to tell you tonight, amen, it don't take much to enlist and get something done for God. When you talk about enlisting, you're talking about getting things done. You're talking about the great battles and victories. You think about David. You think about Moses. You think about other saints of God in your life. And sometimes it looks like it's too big to obtain in your life. If Barak can do it, you and I can do it.
Amen.
It just takes a little bit of faith to say, you know what? That's right. That's what I need to do. And walk an old aisle and get saved. Remember how that happened? Or walk an old aisle, commit your life to God and say, I'm going to go forward. I'm all in for God. And I don't know what He can do with me, but He's got me. You'll be surprised what God can do with you.
Amen.
God honored the faith and willingness of Barak, amen, and made him have dominion over the mighty. What he took was little and gave him much. That's how God works, amen. It's time to get engaged, get involved, amen. His faith not only was honored by God, amen, by God giving him things to do, but his faith pushed others to do something. You know, some of you teenagers, you know what some of you teenagers need? You need to see somebody around your age stand up and say, you know what, I'm going for God.
Yep.
Do you know how much impact that'll put on somebody else? You know, some of you are here today, we are reflections of somebody else that done it right. We saw somebody do it and say, you know what, by the grace of God, I'm going to do it.
Yep.
I look at some of them older preachers, amen, and I look up to them as role models in my life and say, man, you know what, if God can use them, maybe by the grace of God, God can do something with me. It's others that God used to provoke us and push us forward, amen. Hey, the enlisted tribe, they fight the good fight of faith, amen. Hey, they get engaged, amen, and God honors their faith, and their faith pushes somebody else to do right. Hey, when's the last time your testimony caused somebody to do right instead of wrong?
Yeah, amen.
That's what we can do if you just enlist. There's not many leaders. There's a lot of followers.
Yeah.
And these lot of followers need a few leaders to show them the path. Somebody needs to stand up and say, I'm going for God. Look at the Bible said in verse number 14. Out of Ephraim was there a root of them against Amalek. After thee, Benjamin, among the people. Out of Maker came down governors, and out of Zebulun, they that handled the pen of the writer. Hey, Barak went forth with his little bit of faith. God breathed on it, made him have dominion. And others said, you know what? If that old Barak can do it, man, so can I. By the grace of God, I can go forward too. Man, if God done something with them, well, surely he can do something with me. The testimony of somebody that God honored and God breathed on. They didn't have much, but with God they was much. And it pushed others to do something for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Have you pushed someone else to go forward for the Lord? Ephraim went forth, verse 14. He's the first one. He said, out of Ephraim was there a root of them against Amalek. Just a root, just a little bit of them. Against Amalek? Who was Amalek? Amalek's a type of the Antichrist. It's also a type of the flesh. Amen. You know what? Out of Ephraim was there a root of them against Amalek. You know what Ephraim shows? That, hey, we can beat this stinking flesh.
Amen.
It ain't eradicated, amen. When we lay it down, it's gonna be completely over. But you know what? It ain't gotta push us around all our lives. Amalek ain't gotta tell us what to do and where to go and push us to do wrong all the time. Amen. But we got the Spirit of God inside of us. A new man's inside of you. You got a Holy Bible to direct you and a Holy Spirit, right? Hey, you can do something for the Lord. Hey, just the root of Ephraim said, you know what? I'm not going to let Amalek have his way. Hey, give me some out of the root to say, you know what? By the grace of God, I'm not going to let my flesh push me around. Why? Because they saw that God could use a little frail man like Barak. It produced Ephraim to say, you know what? If he can do it with them, boy, why can't he do nothing for me? If he can't take an old stinking redneck out of the sand hills and make something out of him, why can't he do it with me? If he can't go down to Scotland County and pick some garbage up and make something out of him, why can't he do something with me? God can't go down and pick you up out of the pit where you was in, why can't he do something with somebody else? It pushed them, amen. It pushed them. Fight. Benjamin. Ephraim. You know who Ephraim was, by the way? He was the little brother of Manasseh. The little brother. Oh, little brother can't do nothing. You watch him. You know what the next one was? Benjamin. You know what Benjamin was? He's the smallest of the tribes. He's the youngest of them all. Come out of the loins of Jacob. Oh, Benjamin over there. You know what he did? But you know what he did? Listen. You know what it shows me about Benjamin and Ephraim? Ephraim shows me that, the Amalek ain't got to have his way in your life. And Benjamin shows me that anybody can fight. Small old Benjamin is all he was. Look at verse 14. Out of Ephraim there was a root of them against Amalek. After thee, Benjamin among the people. Little old Benjamin. You say, preacher, I'm just a little old nobody. It don't matter. Just enlist.
Amen.
You got a big God.
Amen.
You know how big your God is. Do you know what your God could do with you?
Amen.
Hey, man, that's encouraging to me. Little old Benjamin. There ain't nothing that limits God. Amen. He went on down to say Benjamin. And in verse 14, he went on to say the governors. Amen. Maker came down. Governors out of Maker. Out of Zebulun. They that handled the pen of the writer. Amen. The small governors that were under the judges. And then little pen scribe writers. Amen. It doesn't matter where you are, where you've been. Your God can do it if you'll just enlist. God wants to use you. The people of the battle, I see the fighting tribes, the enlisted tribe, they fought the good fight of faith. Hey, and they pushed others to do something for the Lord. Number two, I see the easy tribe. This is the sad sort of it. Verse 15, the Bible says, and the princes of Issachar, they were in there too. They were in that enlisted tribe. Were with Deborah. Somebody said that possibly that's the tribe that Deborah came out of. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah. It doesn't say, but possibly that was her tribe. Even Issachar and also Barak, he was sent on foot into the valley. Might have to go down low. But here's what gets sad. Here's the easy tribe. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great thoughts of heart. Why boldest thou among the sheepfold to hear the bleating of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searching of heart. The easy tribe. So if the enlisted tribe is the fighting tribe, I see the easy tribe as the fleeing tribe. The easy tribe. They're the ones that are looking for the easy way out. They don't want to enlist, they flee. The Solomon said it like this in Proverbs 28 and verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. But the righteous are bold as a lion. Ain't that a good verse? The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. I see this easy tribe. They're the fleeing tribe. Hey, why was Reuben fleeing? You know why? He had divisions in his heart. The great thoughts of his heart. The divisions of great searching of his heart. Amen. You know what God, you know what his daddy said about him in prophetically about Reuben? Amen. Hey, you know, Reuben was the eldest, by the way. Anybody should have been leading the way. It should have been the elder. Hey, you older sisters and older brothers, your younger sisters and younger brothers are looking up to you. Amen. You got responsibility to lead them in the right way. You know what his daddy said about Reuben, though? He said he was unstable as water. Genesis 49:4. What a thing for a father to have to say about his eldest son. He's unstable as water. You can't count on him. You can't depend on him. He's double-minded. You don't know whether he's coming or going. That's what the Bible says, for the visions of Reuben, there were great thoughts of heart. He said, for the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. That's the end of verse 15 and the end of verse 16. That shows me he was double-minded. You know what the Bible says about a double-minded man? He's unstable in all his ways. You got an enlisted tribe, but you got some in the tribe. These are the people in the battle. You got these ones that are fleeing. They don't want to get involved. They don't want to do anything for the Lord. They don't want to be involved in the work of the Lord. And they don't really care who else goes down, as long as everybody leaves them alone. You know, that's the way some of you are. Just leave me alone. No, you don't need to be left alone. That's the problem. You've been alone too long. You're leaving yourself to the reason of your own heart. That's what he was doing. He had, you know what Reuben had? Reuben had a way of talking himself out of his responsibilities. The divisions of Reuben were the great thoughts of his heart. I wonder if Reuben sat around, he was like this, well, I know that's what I ought to do, but you know what? I ain't the only one that's doing wrong. The people that won't enlist, that's what they do. That's what you do. You're constantly talking yourself out of it. You know what you ought to do, but for some reason you sit around and you have your little pity party and you flee your responsibility. Amen. Instead of being bold as a lion, you fleeing when no man's pursuing. Amen. Well, if I do that, then this is going to happen. You know, well, if I get saved, what's going to happen with my girlfriend or boyfriend? Well, if I get sold out, you know, and I know that's what I ought to do, I got conviction, I hear you, preacher, but what about my friends that I'm running with doing wrong? And you have a way of talking yourself out of your responsibilities. That was Reuben. His division of his own heart. You know what Reuben should have done? The same thing you ought to do and the same thing I ought to do when we get like this. Instead of reasoning with our old wicked heart. Jeremiah said what? Jeremiah 17 verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Amen. Instead of reasoning with your heart, you ought to be reasoning with your Bible. Because that Bible is going to tell you what's right. You, when you got, when you in your, you know, you got this super spirit. Well, God's leading me, and I went to prayer with God. And we talked about it. Yeah, you just read. You, what you did is went and reasoned with your wicked heart, and you talked to God long enough till God gave you the answer you wanted to hear, and it's straight against Bible. That shows me what spoke to you wasn't the Spirit of God. What Reuben should have did is reason with his Bible instead of reasoning with his wicked heart. You know what the Bible said, Isaiah 1 and 18? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. You know what the concept is? Come to God and reason. Let's get in your Bible and see what God has to say about it. You know what God has said? Bless and list. Let's take the little bit you got and let me breathe on it. Let me show you what I can do.
Amen.
But instead, the easy, we're looking for the easy way out. We're the fleeing tribe. We reason with ourselves instead of reasoning with the Bible. You know what we are? We're unstable.
Amen.
You know what else this fleeing tribe is? They were not only unstable, they were unconcerned.
Right.
If you're not, you know, unstable will lead to unconcern. You know what it means? I don't care.
Yep.
They didn't care. Look in verse 16. He says, why boatest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleating of the flocks? That's the question. Hey, what are you doing? Have you lost your God-given mind? You ever looked at somebody and said, what in the world was you thinking? Could you have been any more foolish? Look at what he said here. Why boatest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleating of the flock? For the divisions of Reuben, there was great searching of heart. You know what? They were unconcerned. They were more concerned with their sheepfold and the bleating of the flocks than they were with the fight in the battle of God. Do you know what this shows? Do you know what? This is Reuben. You remember who Reuben was? You remember Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh? You remember when the 12 tribes of Israel came down in what's the book before Judges? Joshua. And they went down there to take Canaan land, what God sent them to take, and Joshua let them in. Y'all remember how it went forward? And it was Reuben, that eldest, and it was Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh that said, you know what? We like our sheep over here. Let's just stay on this side and y'all go over there and take it. You know what Moses thought? Moses thought, you know what? These people are more concerned about these stinking sheep and flocks than they are with the battle of God. And Moses said, hey, unless you go and fight with us, you're not getting the land. And so you know what they said? We'll go fight. Well, don't that look good? Let's go fight. And they went over there and fought and they took Canaan. And here goes Reuben, Gad, the half-tribe Manasseh, went back over the water, banked over there with their sheep and flock that they wanted to be with the whole time. But you know what? When they took Canaan, everything looked good. They fought when everybody else fought. They got involved when everybody else got involved. But they had something in the back of their heart that they loved more than being what God wanted them to be to start with. And that was on the other side of Jordan. And they went back over there. And when push came to shove, and it was time to fight again, hey, Barak said, let's go. Deborah said, let's go, Barak, let's go. And the tribes go to enlist. And Reuben's over there, well, you know, we done fought one time. Why go again? You know what? They were unconcerned. They had gotten what they wanted. You know what you'll do sometimes when you get like that, when you want to enlist and you want it easy? You'll just do enough to get what you want out of it.
Yeah.
That's the way some of God's people live. They get do enough to get what they want. And if I get what I want, I care less about anything else.
Amen.
That's the way Reuben was. He said, and the Lord called him on it. Why boatest thou among the sheepfold? Amen. These are the people that settled on the east side. Boy, the east side's always been bad, hasn't it? Amen. They came out and fought to get Canaan, but they did. Now they want to stay home while their Jewish brethren need them. Ah, y'all take care of it. Y'all got it. Go ahead. We're just looking for the easy way out. We're riding on everybody else's coattail. Sound familiar? It's the fleeing tribe. They're constantly fleeing. Why? Because they're unstable and they're unconcerned. Let me show you some verses. Look in 1 Corinthians 10. Hold your place here quickly. 1 Corinthians 10. It ain't 8 o'clock yet. Y'all doing good tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The easy tribe. Reuben wanted it easy. And a lot of God's people, they just wanted it easy. Well, you know, if I do that and do this, I'm going to have to put up with hell and I have to fight that. You know, what? So you're going to give up? Well, people are going to talk about me, so what? You going to quit? Encourage yourself. Let's go. Problem might be you're just unconcerned. Reuben was unconcerned. He'd got what he wanted. Isn't it amazing? Once we get what we want, we don't care. You know what? Without being too crude, you know what some of those boys and girls want? They just want what they want, and then they ain't going to care. And you take that with a grain of salt. They don't care. Who cares about you? These people, God's people, care about you. They don't care. And they're looking for the easy way. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 24, the Bible says this. He said, "Let no man seek his what? Own, but every man what? Another's wealth." You know what they're following? They were seeking their own. Reuben said, "Man, I got mine. Y'all go ahead. Fight all you want to." Look in Galatians 6 and 2. They're unconcerned. They got what they wanted. Galatians 6, 2 says this, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth his own self." Look in Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians 2 right here. Philippians 2, 4. The Bible says, he says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of who?" Reuben, your brother needs you. Yeah, but we got our sheep. We got my four no more. Chapter 2, verse 21. Here's the problem. "For all seek their own and not the things which are Christ, Jesus Christ." Are you like that? Look back in Judges 5. This is the easy tribe. They're the fleeing tribe. They're unstable. They're unconcerned. They'll stay at home while their brethren fight. Why? Because they're unwilling. They're unwilling. This is that easy tribe. You got those that are Reuben, that are unstable, unconcerned, got what they wanted. But look in verse 17. Gilead also abode beyond Jordan. What's wrong with Gilead? The Bible says this, "And why did Dan remain in the ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in the breaches." What do you see in verse 17? I see people that's unwilling. You mean to tell me I'm going to go that far? I'm not going that far. As you say, "Well, preacher, I know that's where I ought to be, but I can't drive that far to church." I've had people tell me that. Well, if you know that's where God wants you to be, what's the distance got to do with it? Wise men travel from far to worship the Lord. Sometimes you might have to put forth an effort. We got some of you in here to drive further. You know, you can probably go to a church that'd be a little more convenient and easier. But you know what? You're willing. To what? Mind the Lord. They were at, you know what? They was too far to travel. It was not convenient for them. You know, we'd serve the Lord, but, you know, Junior's got a ball game. It's not convenient. You know, I should have had, you got to give me at least a 6 months notice. Easy. That's the way the world is, you know. Make it easy. Don't give me nothing on the spur of the moment. Y'all meet at 12:30 more, y'all lost y'all's mind. That's not convenient. You know what the problem was? They wanted, you know what's over there where they docking these ships? It's the city. The city life. We like the city life. It's easy. It's convenient. Everything's there. Why should I leave the city to go out there in the valley and fight when I could stay at home and get drunk and go to the bar? They're unwilling. Amen. Look in Romans chapter 16. It's New Testament doctrine. I'm not giving you some strange doctrine tonight. Romans 16. It's biblical. They were unwilling. They're going to stay at the docks. We're going to make it easy. Man, I can't go to church tonight. It's raining. And it goes beyond just going to church. It's just an example. It's a life. I mean, if God don't fit in your little bubble, then He just ain't going to be involved. Romans 16 and verse 1, the Bible says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchreae, that you receive her in the Lord as become of saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a secure of many, that's a helper, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my what? Life laid down their own necks. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Look back in Judges 5. You know what the Bible says? Verse 18, Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeopardied their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. Do you know what they did? They willing to give their lives. They jeopardied their lives. You know what the Bible says in Matthew 6 and 33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. And His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Colossians 3, set your affections on things above. The enlisted tribe is a fighting tribe. The easy tribe is a fleeing tribe. But thirdly, amen, it won't take long, the encouraging tribes. We spoke a little bit about encouraging already. This is the following tribes. They'll follow. What are they going to follow? They're going to follow what's right. Somebody turn to 3 John 11 and read it for me. 3 John 11. They're the encouraging tribe. Verse number 18 in Judges, while somebody's finding 3 John 11, when you find it, stand up and I'll call on you. Go ahead, read it.
Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam, who warred and pursued in the gainsaying of Korah.
Is that 3 John? That was Jude? Is that Jude? 3 John. Try it again, son.
The love follows not that which is evil, but that which is good.
There you go.
The goodness of God, it doeth evil, and hath not faith.
Follow that which is good. What's the preacher saying? The only people that make mistakes are people that what? Try. Amen. You don't want to make mistakes, don't try, amen. You're going to make mistakes, amen. But you keep on going. You get up and grab yourself by the nap and say, that's the wrong book, let me get that again. Amen. Encourage yourself, son. I'll encourage you a little bit. Encouraging tribe. They were a following tribe. They were those that jeopardied their lives unto the death. You see that? You know what it shows me in verse number 18? Not everybody's bad.
Amen.
The old verse in the Old Testament, not everybody's bowed their knee to Baal. Everybody ain't bad. You know what? When it comes to being an encouraging tribe, amen, you need to realize everybody ain't doing wicked. Glory be to God they ain't, amen. Yeah. They jeopardied their lives. They were willing to give themselves for the work of God, amen. Hey, and you know what? When you're an encouraging tribe, you're doing right affects somebody else. The Bible said in verse 19, the kings came and fought. Then fought the kings of Cana and Tanakh. By the waters of Megiddo, they took no gain of money. Did you see who fought with them? Kings. You maybe could say they were the people, but you know what? The kings of Canaan. They're the enemy. Do you know what happened there? This encouraging tribe was so encouraging and so involved that the enemy looked at them and said, you know what? They're right. We're wrong. You know what? If you get out there and be encouraging, you might influence somebody to say, you know what? That salvation is real. That King James Bible is the real thing. That serving God is the right way. I believe I'll go out there and fight with y'all. Amen? I think about old Larry, and I don't know where Larry's at now. He's probably drunk somewhere, just to tell you the truth. And last time I saw him, he's that way. I tried to tell him he needs to get right about that stuff. But you remember when he's out there on the street preaching, old Larry come up drunk? And he said he gave his heart to the Lord, and what he did, that's between God and him. But you know what he did? He saw us out there working for the Lord. This guy was drunk. Just knelt down and prayed to God, and got up and said, hand me a handful of them tracks, and started handing them out to you. I'm like Canaan here, you know? Boy, damn, it's just the right thing to do. Whether you're right or not, it's the right thing to do. You influence somebody maybe to do right. That's what we need to be doing. We need some encouraging tribes that follow the Lord, that influence others to follow the Lord. Set the example, lead the light, amen, and show somebody the right way. Verse 19, the kings came and fought. Then fought the kings of Canaan in Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. In verse 12, the Bible said, "Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, utter a song, arise, Barak, and lead captivity captive, thou son of Benham." I said earlier, this whole book is not only historically about the battle that fought and what God could do with His people that are willing, but God's speaking about a future battle, that battle of Megiddo, Armageddon, that future things going on. There's a lot of things within this chapter, amen, that don't even match what went on actually in the battle in chapter 4. That was God was speaking prophetically about the future, interweaving it within the story that encourages us and also speaking about something to come. Awake, awake, Deborah, leading captivity captive. Do you know what chapter 12, verse 12 is prophetically a picture of? It's the tribulation rapture of the tribulation saints. You write the reference down, you go check it out. Isaiah 26:19. These people are singing. They're singing a song. They're awaking. Somebody's being arisen. Somebody's being arisen. The captivity is being captive. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 24 about the tribulation saints and in Revelation chapter 6 about those souls under the altar. Do you know what the Lord's going to do prior to the battle of Armageddon? He's going to say, "Arise, awake, awake. Get up, you dead ones." Who is it? It's the tribulation saints. Those souls under the altar. And He's going to get them up. He's going to lead captivity captive just like He did at His first coming.
Yeah.
He's going to take them away, lead them up, and then bring them back to that battle of Armageddon in Megiddo, Revelation 16:6. Get involved. That day's coming. You know what we need to do today? We need to be an encouraging tribe. Some of you need to enlist. Some of you need to get out of that easy life. Let's do something for the Lord. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe God spoke into your heart somehow tonight. Maybe you're here and you're lost. You need to be saved.